I gave the outline out in the gym Wednesday evening, in the folder he always looked at to see what the topic is. And he says, "Oh, Hebrew lettuce. That you've preached that one before." And then Danny spoke of it. Yeah, Hebrew lettuce. I remember that sermon, but I don't know if you remember exactly what we said. You just remember Hebrew lettuce is an older topic that was many years ago was talked about or preached. Well, I still have the basic outline notes. I probably say a lot of different things than what I've said before, but the main topics remain the same because each main topic has the word "let us" in it. So we're going to look at that one more time. I try not to apologize when I pull out some notes that I've already used. I have their biblical authority for it. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, this second epistle, "Beloved, I now write unto you, and in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us the apostles, of the Lord and Savior." What Peter is writing in this second epistle, they're hearing the message for the fifth time. The same message. So I get this lesson three more times to be biblical. So he says it's the second letter, so he's written them the first time. He's writing them a second time to stir up in their minds to remember what's already been said by the prophets, by the apostles, and by the Lord. You're not convinced. I know you're not convinced.
I just said I remembered it.
Nice try. I hear nice try coming out from the group. Put in your notes, this lesson is going to look at the "let us" in the book of Hebrews, kind of a play on words. But anyone involved in the healthy lifestyle, let's put this in your notes, you can follow along a little bit. But the healthy lifestyle, typically there's lettuce in the diet. It's good for you. So that lettuce usually becomes a salad, a dish with added ingredients, like shredded cheese or cucumber or radish or ham or bacon bits, light ranch dressing, but not blue cheese. So I lost half my audience because half of you like blue cheese dressing, but I don't. I put in the notes in this "let us" in this lesson for our spiritual diet, our spiritual health. By note, the Christians in this letter that the letter is to the Hebrews, they came from a Jewish background. So they converted from a different religion, in a sense. They were used to doing things in worship in a different manner. They were perhaps used to the old ways, and in some ways they wanted to hang on to those old ways. There was a strong temptation to go back to that old diet. And so the writer is saying in 13 chapters, don't do that. He says, "Let us," 13 times. He says, "Go this new direction. Do this. Follow this path." He's saying, "Add these things to your spiritual salad because it's healthy and it's productive." So there's at least 13 "let us" verses in the book of Hebrews. There's other themes that go through the book of Hebrews, and one of those other lessons would be things that are better. And that word or that phrase is used at least half a dozen times in comparison to things in the Old Testament. Half a dozen better things in the Hebrew letter. So let's take a look at each one of these and just kind of give you a brief description or discussion of them, and then we'll move right along. Now, I'm not sure how many weeks it'll take to go through this. I'm just going to go through these, and when it's time to stop, I'll stop. So I'll get you home before the Charger game.
There's a game
tomorrow night. chapter 4, beginning at just verse 1, let us, there's the phrase for the theme of the outline, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So he's saying, let us fear, meaning there's something that we should dread, something that we should have concern about or alarm or be afraid of or really to be terrified of. And he mentions what it is. He says, because there's a promised rest for us. He says, be afraid to miss that. In verse 9, he says, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God, having reference to heaven. So we need to be afraid to miss that eternal reward. Be afraid or dread to miss heaven. A song I've used before, it's not in our book, it was in one of our older books, Songs of the Church. Heaven will surely be worth it all. I like the words to this song. It's saying, often I'm hindered on my way, burden so heavy I almost fall. But then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. The second stanza says, many the trials and the toils and tears, many a heartache may here appall, but the dear Lord so truly will say, heaven will surely be worth it all. The third stanza, toiling and pain I will endure till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure, heaven will surely be worth it all. The chorus is, heaven will surely be worth it all, worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life, with all of its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. That's the verse. Be afraid to miss heaven. Let us fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into that rest. Be afraid to be left out. Don't come short of it. And that fear is reinforced with the example of the Old Testament Israelites of not entering to the promised land because of their unbelief. And in Hebrews chapter, the chapter before this, in chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, and here's the illustration leading up to this, let us. Why do you say, let us be afraid? Here's the example. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, meaning in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. And here's that picture. God says, you saw my ability, capability, and doing for 40 years. I led, I fed, I guided. I did all of this for you. Verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So in verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Key phrase. Condition. If we hold fast our confidence steadfast, the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? In verse 17, he asked the question. Whom was he grieved with for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he sware that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So, in verse 19, the last verse, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And then chapter 4, verse 1 is the text. Therefore, let us fear, lest we miss out on that promised rest. And the next phrase is in verse 1 of chapter 4, and fall short of it. Fall short of it. So, you know, you've heard the expression, a miss is as good as a mile. You still missed it. You missed by a little, you still missed it. You're short of it. And so very few Christians ever boldly decide against the Lord and move decisively away. We probably have known some that made that choice. But to come short of it, for us, because by just perhaps low attention to spiritual things, we just didn't give it attention. Perhaps we might have been careless in our attendance. Not us tonight, obviously. Kind of preaching to the choir on this particular point. But perhaps some might have been neglecting in Bible reading and prayer. Maybe the world encroached on their time, and they listened to the call of the world. So they're going to fall short of that promised rest. Perhaps they had friendships that diverted their attention away from first things. But there's something in some people's lives that's going to cause them to miss the very thing that they're searching for. And so Paul, or the Hebrew writer, says, be afraid to miss that promised rest. Dread that possible situation. Be terrified to miss heaven, is his message. It's hard to imagine a more urgent warning than the one that's given right here. Be afraid to miss heaven. I'm going to stop there, because I think that's a good thought to end on. Be afraid. If you don't remember anything from the Let Us series of 13 points, remember number one. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear of missing that promised rest and falling short of it. You're going to keep these notes. Bring them back with you if you'd like. I'm not sure how many extra copies we have, but I'll try to save those and collect them and hand them out again next week. So fold them or put them in your Bible, your songbook, or whatever, put your name. But always at the close of a lesson, one reason I don't always like to preach as long on Sunday night, not sometimes, but there's purpose to our gathering. And I never like to consider myself the main event. This evening we're going to enjoy a time of fellowship too. Enjoy the singing, enjoy the prayers, having that communion with those who are unable to assemble this morning. There's more to our gathering, and especially I think on Sunday evenings. It wouldn't bother me if there were more songs or prayers in our Sunday evening meeting. Obviously, I have something prepared. I could go 4.5 hours. but there's just a meeting. Please don't. But there's just something about our fellowship and our meeting together that is meant to enjoy and to be strengthened in. And it's, I don't think it's necessarily determined by the time of my presentation in sermon form. We speak and teach one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We hear our names called in prayer or in the announcements. There's some uplifting. There's some encouragement that goes on from this time together. So even though you may think, well, the sermon fell short, no, look at the strength of everything else that's surrounding it or that's involved with it, and enjoy this time together and think of it as a time to revive or to strengthen spirituality and to get to know one another better. Come early, stay late. We have our monthly potlucks. Even if you don't eat, stay. Trade a story, share an experience. Because that's what the purpose of it is. Just to get to know each other better. So there's value in my lesson. There's value in assembly, and I don't want you to miss that. Never minimize the value of assembly, of getting together. Don't minimize that, or think of it as optional. So I went longer than point number one, but that's all right. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. There is one here this evening that's not a member of the New Testament Church. I know you know what to do because you've heard it so often. Let me say it again, if you have not been baptized for remission of sins, that opportunity is available. While we're gathered here, if you want to make an expression of asking for prayers, for strength, encouragement, decisions, whatever it is, safe journey, we can accomplish that too. You just need to let your response be known. So let's stand together if people are able to sing the song of encouragement that Jesus has selected for us.
He laughs at the cross.